Many of the Mefarshim point out that it seems to be fairly clear that Sefer Dvarim is different than the other Chumashim that we find in Torah. And part of the question becomes, what exactly is unique about Sefer Dvarim? In particular, the Medrash tells us, Chazal, in a couple of places, that Sefer Dvarim is actually referred to as Mishnah Torah. And in many ways, that appears to be somewhat part of the key to understanding what exactly is unique about Sefer Dvarim. We're going to try to highlight three different mahalchim. There is, we should point out, the Netziv and his Hagdama, Temek Davar, to Sefer Dvarim, so the Netziv has a bit of a different mahalach, but we're going to try to suggest three main mahalchim. The approach of many of the Rishonim, Tosvos Meseches Gittin on Daf Beis, the Ramban here in his Hagdama to Sefer Dvarim appears to assume like this also. The Mishnah Torah is really a repetition. The Sefer Dvarim is really a repetition of that which was found in the first four Chumashim. And because that is the case, that's why they'll point out that when you go through Sefer Dvarim, one finds a lot of the mitzvot that we're going to talk about in Sefer Dvarim. We've already really had earlier the most famous example, that we have the Aseret HaDibros, though there are certain differences in parts of Yes Chanan, but we've already really heard them in Parshas Yisro. So we do seem to have a degree of repetition. As Netziv points out, part of the challenge with this approach is that if Sefer Dvarim really is in many ways a repetition, so it is interesting, or at least it is worthy of trying to understand, why is it that there in fact are certain differences, that we do find mitzvot that are unique in Sefer Dvarim, that one does not find in other places? This is a question that the Ramban himself asks. Sefer Dvarim is really repetition, so how can we do have so many new mitzvot here in Sefer Dvarim? So the Ramban points out a couple of things. First of all, the Ramban understands, throughout his parish in Sefer Dvarim, the Ramban understands that many of the newer mitzvot that we find in Sefer Dvarim are actually expansions or are somehow connected to mitzvot that we've already learned. So while it does in a certain sense look like it's somewhat unique, really they are sort of, there are hints to it or there are ideas similar to it already in Chumash. But as the Ramban himself points out, there are many things that do appear to be somewhat unique. Yibam, the din of Motzi Shemra, divorce and marriage, Edim Zomimin, many, many things. And the Ramban understands certainly those were commanded already, the Ramban's Chiddush, certainly those were commanded already at Har Sinai or in Ol Moed B'Shana Rishona. So ask the Ramban, so why are we really waiting to tell them? Why are we waiting here? So Ramban understands that part of Sefer Dvarim is it's also the safer for those that are going to be entering into Eretz Yisrael. And the Ramban suggests that maybe some of those mitzvot that we saved for Sefer Dvarim are actually only going to be applicable in Eretz Yisrael. Or he suggests that because they were not as frequent, they were not tediros, it also was not as necessary to mention them earlier. So, the first mahalach is a mahalach in which Sefer Dvarim is really a repetition, in which case one's going to have to try to explain, as the Ramban does, why there are examples of things that appear to be somewhat unique. The Ksava Kabbalah quotes a very similar idea from the Gra. The Gra also, which is pointed out as inside, thought it really was a repetition, not of Sefer Bereishis. Sefer Bereishis may be a Hakdama to all of Torah, but really of Shemos, Vayikra, and Bamidbar. And the Gra tried to point out textually how the first five Psukim in Sefer Dvarim really appear to be an introduction to all of Sefer Dvarim. The Gra points out Sefer Dvarim is really divided up into three sections. The first section is really the Musar, the rebuke that Moshe Rabbeinu gives Klal Yisrael. The second section is many of the mitzvot, includes many of the mitzvot that are unique. And the third section includes the bris, the covenant that would take place between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And those things the Gra understands, again, textually, that we have certain parallels there. And that's the first general mahalach, that it is a repeat. Although, again, with the twist of the Ramban, it's a repeat, but it's specifically for those who are going to be entering into Eretz Yisrael. A second approach is one that emerges based on the Gemara in Meseches Megillah, and it's also somewhat of a well-known one. The Chumash, in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, does tell us, Eilo Dvarim Asher Diber Moshe al Kol Yisrael. It sounds like these are the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. Typically, in Chumash, we often have Eidaber Hashem al Moshe Leimor, as if it came from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Here it does sound a little bit more like it came from Moshe Rabbeinu. So, what you find, which is somewhat interesting, here's the Gemara Meseches Megillah and Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara Megillah is speaking specifically about the Tochacha, about the rebukes that are found, one in Sefer Vayikra and one in Sefer Dvarim. And the Medrash and the Gemara says that the difference is Haladu Belashon Rav Mamurus Moshe Piyak Gvura Amran. In Sefer Vayikra, Moshe was saying it directly from Hashem. V'halalu Belashon Yachran Amurus Moshe Mipi Atzmo Amran. Amaran. That what's found in Sefer Devarim, the Tochacha, again, at least about the Tochacha, was something which Moshe said, mi pi atzmo. Moshe said on his own. That is in and of itself somewhat of a chiddush, and many of the Mefarshim point out, the Gemara and Sanhedrin tells us that a person has to believe that Chumash all came from Ribono Shel Olam, that Moshe didn't say it on his own. So what exactly does that mean? So there is another Mahalach, one that the Dubna Magid and the Sefer Ohel Yaakov quotes in the name of the Gra. It's also one that, and a bit of a different Mahalach from the Gra, it's also one that the Maharal in Tiferes Yisrael, in Perek Mem Gimel, elaborates on a similar idea. And what they understand is that Sefer Dvarim is different as far as the quality of the Nevuah. And again, this is expanded beyond just the Tochacha, but really for some of them refers to all of Sefer Dvarim. In the first four Chumashim, when Moshe was communicating, the Shekhinah was in a certain sense midaberes mitoch grono. Moshe was doing almost, was really doing nothing, and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kviyachol was communicating directly through Moshe. That was fundamentally different from the way that most prophets work, the way that most Nevi'im are going to give things over. It was really just, again, Shekhinah, midaberes, mitoch, grono, that was what it was really going to be. However, suggests the Gra, Mishneh Torah is a little bit unique. In Mishneh Torah, he understands it's actually more similar, Moshe's form of communication is actually more similar to the way in which most Nevi'im communicated. They heard a message from the Ribono Shel Olam, and then they would go and they would communicate it. It was not actually as much of a direct, rather the lashon is Lokein Sefer Devarim, how Yisrael shom is divrei haSefer hazeh, kaasher shamu divrei haNeviim asher achar Moshe. They heard Sefer Devarim the same way that they would hear other Neviim, because Baruch would speak to the Navi. And then Machar halacha Navi veshmiya hachazon el Yisrael. And the next day, once the prophecy had stopped, Moshe would then go and Moshe would communicate it. In that sense, Sefer Dvarim is unique, and then in many ways Moshe's role is greater. And the way that the Gra appears to understand, it's really that Moshe did hear these things from the Ribono Shel Olam. He just communicated it afterwards, and in that sense, it serves as a good bridge between Chumash and Navi. Sefer Dvarim is that middle. It's somewhat similar to Navi in that Moshe is communicating. It's Moshe. It's in Chumash because Baruch Hu gives it a certain status. But he's communicating like a more similar to a regular Navi. There is a bit of a different Mahalach. It's a Mahalach that is found. Salvechik has it. It's in the Rishima Shiurim, Tivamos, and Daf Dalet. It is, Reb Tzadok has it in a couple of places. In Parshas Kisavo, he has it. In Pritzadik and Sefer Shmos, Teres Chodesh Shvat. Reb Tzadok has a similar idea. The Avnei Nezer has it also. And that's an interesting Mahalach. And that is that maybe it's correct that Moshe's status and the status of Sefer Dvarim is somewhat unique. It's not just a repetition, but it's less Moshe, it's less it being like a regular Nevuah, but rather they understand that in a certain sense, it's more equivalent to Torah Sheba'al Peh. That Sefer Dvarim serves as the connection between Chumash Torah and Torah Shebichsav and Torah Sheba'al Peh, not Torah Nevi'im, Torah Shebichsav and Torah Sheba'al Peh. That in Chumash, it was originally direct from Ribono Shel Olam. We know that in Torah Sheba'al Peh, the Gemara says in Maseches Bava Metzia that it's Lo Bashamayimi, the man plays much more of a role. And Sefer Dvarim seems to be a combination of both of those things. How exactly does it work? So the way that they suggest, you find similar ideas, I believe, already in the Barbanel, in the Malbim, you have similar ideas also in the Tshuvah of the Rashbash and some others, that maybe what really happened is that this was actually originally set for Moshe Rabbeinu. It wasn't said like a regular Nevuah, but it was really Moshe himself speaking. Because Baruch Hu, though, after Moshe communicated this, then decided to give it his stamp and to make it actually formally part of Torah Shebichsav. Here, the originator is really Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is getting elaborated. This is getting the status of a Torah Sheba'al Peh. Whichever approach one works with, one does discover that Sefer Dvarim does appear to be somewhat unique. For Tosfos, for the Ramban, and for others, it's really in many ways a repetition of the first four Svarim of Chumash. The primary question is how exactly what we do with some of the repetition. The Ramban, it's some of it was saved for those who were entering into Eretz Yisrael. Some of the things are not as new as one may have thought. At least that's one way of understanding it. And then we saw those that suggest that maybe it really does have somewhat of a different status. Certainly Sefer Dvarim is part of Chumash. It has similar status. We learn many halachos, many unique mitzvos we find in Sefer Dvarim. But still, it may be somewhat different. For the Gra is quoted by the Dubna Magid, an idea similar in the Maharal and Tiferes Yisrael, that Moshe's status here, it's not as direct of a Shechina Midaberes Mitoch Grono, it's more analogous to other forms of prophecy, although again having the status of Chumash. And then the third mahalach with what Rav Soloveitchik had, what Rav Tzadok had, which really comes, I believe, already from the Zohar, which is that there is a certain status here of real Torah Shebaal Peh, that Moshe here is playing much more of a role, that Moshe here is playing, and obviously the Ribbono Shel Olam gives it the status of Chumash, but it does highlight the role of man. Part of this discussion, what it does do for us, is it indicates the uniqueness of Sefer Dvarim, and hopefully also gives us a degree of insight into different elements of Nevuah and different levels of Nevuah, and the role that we play in Torah Shebaal Peh, and the role that the Ribbono Shel Olam played in the rest of Chumash, and hopefully can give us some good insight when we approach some of the Musar in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, some of the Tochacha later, a lot of the Bris, a lot of the Mitzvos, to be able to approach Sefer Dvarim with understanding its Mishnah Torah. In many ways it has a lot of repetition, but it also does have its own unique contributions. Shkai, have a great night.